Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It just dawned on me that as I ask you, what three emojis do you use the most? What are your top three emojis? Real men use emojis, by the way. I can't read your answers on the air. I didn't plan that so well. We can retweet the question or the answer. We can retweet the responses. And you can all go and look at the thread that is on our Facebook page. And it's already developing. I mean, it's in full bloom right now with emojis. But I can't read them. There are a couple of that you can describe relatively well that people know them. Crying, you're laughing so hard you're crying. The middle finger, obviously. The poop emoji. Although there is some debate that could be chocolate ice cream. I just am saying. So I had that conversation with my first graders at church one morning. Anyway, I can't really read your responses. So you're just going to have to go and check them out for yourself. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. And while you're there, send your questions for Ask Amy Anything, which comes up next hour as part of The Hump Show. I said, I didn't think that one completely through. Not great planning on your host's part. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments, and closing costs online in real time? Rocket can.
There's the horn. The Denver Nuggets stave off a fourth quarter run by the LA Lakers, and the Nuggets are right back in this thing, baby. Denver wins game number three by a final of 114-106.
Any game in which I can watch Jamal Murray play is a good game. It's worth it. 28 points, 12 assists, 8 rebounds, a couple of steals, and his coach singing his praises.
He's starting to get the respect from the other teams, and they're game planning. They're blitzing him. They're double teaming him. They're giving him so many different looks. And that's what, you know, part of being an all-NBA type of player is about.
Michael Malone and the Denver Nuggets now trail the Lakers 2-1 in their Western Conference Finals. And we are pleased to welcome Jason Kosmicki, who is the longtime play-by-play voice of the Nuggets on their radio network. I could feel the tension. I'm sure the Nuggets could feel some of that tightening in their gut as well, Jason. They build this big lead, 20 points in the fourth quarter. And again, they watch the Lakers go on this massive run, 19-2, that wipes out almost all of their lead. How did you see the Nuggets bounce back after what happened in game number two?
You know, Amy, they've kind of been this way the entire playoff run. I mean, if I remember right, they had a 1-0 lead on the Utah Jazz in the first round. But other than that, they've only led a series in game seven. You know, so they've been playing catch up, not only game by game in the score wise, but also, you know, in the series as well. So I don't know, you know, if you ever had a better reason to cash in, hey man, let's get the hell out of the bubble. I haven't seen my wife and or girlfriend for days. They've had a million of those excuses in their back pocket, and they haven't taken them yet. So it was good. I mean, you know, we all want a fun series, and you know, game number one against the Lakers was tough, and you know, they got free throwed to death. And then probably should have won game two, but at least they made it a series here in game three, and we'll see what we got moving forward here.
Some teams have done better in the bubble than others, and I think that has a lot to do with personality. It has a lot to do with leadership. What is it about this team, the Nuggets, that they have thrived. And as you point out, that's come despite adversity.
I think what it is that, and, you know, and this thing gets over, you know, what I'm about to say gets overlooked in professional sports all the time. Forget the NBA. I'm just talking in sports. I think they believe. And, you know, belief is a damn rare thing these days, especially in professional sports. And I actually think they believe they can win the title. And when you have that empowerment of belief, you know, crazy things can happen. So everybody else, you know, people can guarantee, you know, you know, all this stuff and break out brooms or whatever they want to do. But when you believe in yourselves and each other, that's a pretty powerful thing to do. And I think that's where they drive from, is that they just believe they can win it.
I love the chip on the shoulder that they carry, and people forget the Nuggets are a 3 seed. I mean, they earned this position there. It's not as though there's some team that kind of backed its way in, and they've earned every bit of this trip to the Western Conference Finals, and yet you've got Mike Malone, you've got Jamal Murray still saying, you guys need to respect us. Maybe now you'll give us a little respect. It works well for the Nuggets, that whole attitude.
No, and you're right, you know. And by the way, there's only been two teams that ever have led the West. And, you know, we forget the quote-unquote regular season. But, you know, it is, you know, if we go back and look at it, there were only two teams in the entire NBA that were number one in the Western Conference. And that was the L.A. Lakers and the Denver Nuggets. And listen, hey, you know, we're not completely morons out here. We get it, man. We get that the Los Angeles television market is bigger than the Denver television market. We know there's that, you know, side story, and that bothers us, especially as broadcasters, because, you know, sometimes you see some stuff and you're like, come on, man. Come on. Seriously? Really? You know? So we go through that entire process, and I thought, you know, for Denver, I just didn't want them to play Houston because for some reason we match up horribly against the Houston Rockets. And then my second worry was Utah. And then my third worry was the LA Clippers. and actually, I think beating the Clippers, me personally, is harder than beating the Lakers. And I don't want to say it gets easier as you go, because, I mean, my God, we all know that that's not the case. But I don't know. It's just it's a resilient group. I think they're the 6th, 7th, 8th youngest team in the NBA. Mm. And these guys just kind of, you know, keep plugging away. And, you know, we'll see what happens.
Jason Kosmicki, Altitude Sports Radio, the play-by-play voice of the Denver Nuggets, fresh off their victory in Game 3 of the Western Conference Finals. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I'm telling you what, one of the great revelations from the bubble is Jamal Murray. Not that it's a surprise to people who knew him, but he has become now this incredible star. How have you seen his game grow and his ability to step into it, you know, really grow?
Yeah, Amy, it's a great question, because he's our highest draft pick that we have on our team, you know, and he was number 7. Other than that, we got a bunch of second rounders and a few G League dudes. But his problem early was his consistency, and Coach Malone said this forever. He's like, you know, don't give me 50 points one night playing against Kyrie on national television, and then the next day on a Tuesday, give me 8 against Memphis where nobody's watching. Stop doing that. You know, give me 22, 23 every night and just be solid. And I got so sick and tired of talking about Jamal Murray's lack of consistency, I was blue in the face. And I think he's finally found the rhythm to where, you know, I don't know what it is. You know, they say, did the game slow down for you? Are you letting it come to you? Or you know, whatever the sports terminologies are. But he finally became consistent, and it did not happen until the bubble. And now he's a consistent basketball player where when I'm driving to the gym every day, getting ready to call these games off of TV, where I don't have to worry about that anymore. You don't have to think to yourself like, hey, man, is he going to bring it tonight? Is he not going to bring it tonight? Is he going to have 8? Is he going to have 50? Is he going to have 30? You know, I mean, you know, so that went away. And now Jamal Murray is a consistent NBA basketball player, and that's been the key.
I tell you what, he's my favorite player to watch in the bubble. I will tune into a game just because of Jamal Murray, and I hope that's the case with a lot of fans around the country who maybe didn't realize the potential there. Jason Kosmicki is with us from Denver. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. This is maybe not a fair question. I'm going to ask it anyway. What is the best part of Nikola Jokic's game?
He's goofy. You know what? That's a great question. Is because when you're in love with the NBA, like we all are, you expect people to play above the rim, and you expect dunks and all this stuff. And he is the most unorthodox NBA player that you have ever seen in your life. He has like, I don't know, 105 different moves. He goes up, under, left, right, left. He can shoot the left hand as good as the right. You know, he's just so goofy. But the best part of maybe this will explain it the best is that when we're on the team playing, he is the one guy. Him and Jamal both actually, but mainly Joker. When we're on the plane, he gets bored. He doesn't watch movies. He barely plays video games. He'll come back just to visit with you. Like, you know, I call it the non-essential employee part of the plane. Like where all of us Rugrats live. And he'll come back and he'll just visit with you and you know, just talk about life and, you know. And I text him all the time and I'm like, you know, I can't remember. It was after one of the Clipper games. I think he had a triple-double. And my dude, I go, you are so damn good. You are such a good basketball player. And he goes, don't worry about it, Kaz. And I just think about it in his Serbian accent. He's like, I'm just fooling people, you know. he's one of those dudes that you just want to hug every time you see him. And he's just, I could care less what he does on the basketball court. He's just a great human being, and he doesn't remind us of NBA basketball players. I mean, he's not a high-flying dunking dude like, you know, Adetu Kumbo and all those guys. He's just a good dude, man. At the end of the day, he's a good human being.
Mm. Jason Kosmicki with us from Denver here on CBS Sports Radio. I heard you say on the broadcast tonight that you are in the hockey broadcast booth. So what's it like to be at the arena when it's empty? I'm still trying to wrap my brain around that.
Amy, it flat out sucks.
Oh, well, that part,
I
yes.
I mean, you know what? You know, here's the thing is that, you know, and I tip my hat to the engineers or whoever the hell puts these things in. We have 4 different angles on one TV. We have an actual feed that's in real time, not like the TNT feed. We have that in front of us. And then we have the actual TNT feed on top of us, on the top 2 screens. And then we have the Jumbotron at Pepsi Center going. But at the end of the day, it's 5 idiots in a building that holds 20,000 people. And this was supposed to be home game number 1.
It's not the same thing. It's not even close to being the same thing.
It is so not even close as the same thing.
So before I let you go, you mentioned some of your big, well, fears, but the teams that you thought the Nuggets didn't match up well with. You started with Houston, and then you said Utah. And somewhere down on your list, I'm sure, is the Lakers. But why do you think they match up well with the Lakers as opposed to some of the other teams in the West?
Well, because, you know, when you look at the Clippers, in my head, if you look on paper and if you go through the numbers, is, and this is a backwards compliment for the Nuggets, is that to me, when you have defenders like Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, and you have a motor that runs a million miles an hour and Montrezl Harrell, and you have Patrick Beverley, who, you know, to me, he's kind of a fake defender. You know, people think he's good. I personally don't. But, you know, when you have good defensive teams, you know, all the rules in the NBA have been geared to offensive players, right, over the last 2 years or whatever. They want more offense in the game. But there are still, like, two or three teams figuring out how to play defense. So that's why the Clippers kind of scared me. Now, what the Lakers have is they have, you know, LeBron James, who basically runs the NBA, and they have Anthony Davis. But I, you know, with all due respect, is like their supporting cast I just didn't believe in. You know, I think they're all nice players. I think Alex Caruso is a nice player. I think Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is a nice player. I think Rajon Rondo is a nice player. But I just don't think that they have enough in order to beat the Nuggets. Now, the only reason I say that is because the Nuggets have a rare thing, Amy, is they have continuity. You know, I think Gary Harris, other than Paul Millsap, might be their oldest player at 25 or 26 years old. These kids have been together for 4 or 5 years. And when you have continuity and you have brothership and you have togetherness in professional sports, especially in the NBA, it's a really, really rare thing. And I just thought that it's going to carry him through. And, you know, and if I'm not leading this charge, then nobody's going to follow in behind me. So that's where I stand.
It is okay to be alone on your island. It's fine. I find myself out there all the time, actually. Jason Kosmicki is the play-by-play voice of the Denver Nuggets. I'm telling you right now, they have a good time, even though it's hard not to be with the team. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes. It's good to talk to you.
Hey, Amy, I just want to say this, is that, you know, you work a tough shift, and I've been there. You know, I'm over 50 years old, and you work hard, and you call me anytime.
Thank you. Thank you, Jason. I appreciate that. I guess it's a tough shift. It is not natural for your physical body to be awake overnight, but we make it work, and I definitely am a night owl by nature. I don't know if that I would be this much of a night owl, but heavens, this totally beats me working in the mornings. You all would not like me as a morning host. I would be cranky and grouchy all the time. All right. Love all of your emoji tweets and emoji posts on Facebook. I can't really read them. I do speak emoji fluently, actually, and I love all of your posts, but I would encourage you to go and check them out yourself. I didn't really think that one through. If you have any thoughts on Lakers Nuggets or Celtics and Raptors who have had an Celtics and Heat who've had an extended stretch off here, which has got to be nice. I mean, the NBA wanted to get them back on track where they go west east every other night. That's huge for them to have a couple days off after this what's been a really brutal stretch. However, I wonder if they're chomping at the bit, too. If you're there to play basketball and you can't play basketball for 4 days, I guess it depends on how much of your family is with you and whether or not you've got other distractions. So it'll be good to see the Eastern Conference Finals return. We've got the latest from Major League Baseball and a couple of clinching scenarios on Tuesday night, and we're looking for your questions for Ask Amy Anything. So find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page, and we'll also take your calls. Producer Dave will take your calls. If he doesn't like your call, then I never hear your call. I don't see it up on my screen.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
McGee about to throw his 18th pitch. One ball, two strikes. Murphy strikes out swinging. And the Dodgers make it 8 straight Western Division titles. Next goal to remove the weight of and the weight since 1988. The Dodgers are the National League Western Division champions again. It may have been a shortened season, but from beginning to end, the Dodgers were the class in the National League. They had the best record pretty much from day one. As they are now hugging one another in the dugout, there is not what you would hope for and expect. The post-game celebration after clinching, this is different. But for the Dodgers, the outcome is just the same.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Charlie Steiner with the extended call on the Dodgers radio network. 8 straight division titles. What are you, the New England Patriots? Pretty amazing feat for the Dodgers, but you hear Charlie make reference to 1988. I remember watching that World Series as a kid and the Kirk Gibson home run in the opener of that series and him limping around the bases. And I can't believe it's been so long, but that was the last time the Dodgers won the World Series. They've had multiple opportunities. They've been the top seed. They've had the stacked pitching staff. I mean, they've come so close. A game 7 they hosted at Chavez Ravine against the Houston Astros in 17. And then a year later, taking on the Red Sox. So that series wasn't quite as close, but it was back-to-back years in the Fall Classic. And now here they are, geared up, loaded up, ready for another run at it. And this may be their best opportunity. Top seed in the National League and 8 straight division titles for the Dodgers. Third team in baseball history to win at least 8 consecutive division crowns, joining the Atlanta Braves from 91 to 2005. You remember, they only earned the 1 World Series, so we're not talking about an automatic situation. And then the New York Yankees, 9 straight from 98 to 2006, and they did, of course, have multiple World Series titles in there. But the picture is coming together now as we look around. I have hiccups. Major League Baseball. I don't know why. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Excuse me for the hiccups. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. 855-212-4CBS. Sponsored by Geico. Right now, Geico offers an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. And that's on top of what Geico can already save you. Visit geico.com to learn more. The Dodgers are now 39-16. Wow. They're a juggernaut. Let's be honest. They have torched this weird, strange 2020 regular season. And it doesn't guarantee anything, but the way they've played, the pitching staff, even what I consider to be their weakness, which is their bullpen, has been better. But you know what really helps your bullpen? When you don't have to play into a save situation at all. So the Dodgers are 39-16, and they're now sitting at, 55 games. They've just got a handful left. And if I'm not mistaken, the only game the Dodgers missed this year was the one in which they chose not to play. They have not been affected by any of the coronavirus postponements. And so you've got different teams who are in different situations, of course. The Cardinals have played 52 games. They've managed to make up a ton through doubleheaders, and so they were affected mightily. The Marlins are also at 55 games, again, with so many doubleheaders. I don't know if they'll run out of gas. I don't know how their pitching staff, will stack up and will hold up. But I think baseball's done a really good job of trying to make up ground where it was lost. And we really haven't had much in the way of coronavirus postponements in baseball now for weeks, which is fantastic. You remember the Oakland A's went through their own situation and they've played 54 games. So they're just kind of behind a little bit. But The process itself of all these teams clinching postseason berths, it's almost comical. It's like every 5 minutes there's another one doing it, and still we're sorting out which teams will be in which seeds. For the most part, even the division titles haven't been settled yet, though the Atlanta Braves did lock up their division title on Tuesday as well. Braves and Dodgers flexing their muscles and being able to win their third straight NL East title as a rout of the Marlins. But a lot of the seeds and a lot of the various division titles, first and second wild cards, those are still up for grabs. Top seed in the American League, up for grabs. And so there's a lot yet to be decided, which is good. I mean, it makes for drama down to the very end. And so I appreciate it. It's just a lot to wrap your brain around. And it feels like it's coming so quickly because it is coming so quickly. Remember, there are going to be 8 teams in each of the leagues. And so here's what we know about the National League. We've got the Braves, the Cubs, who clinched on Tuesday as well, the Dodgers and the Padres. That's it. Only 4 of the 8 teams with just a handful of days left to go. Then in the American League, you've only got 1 division title that's been locked up. That's the A's in the West. First division title since 2013. You have, of the playoff teams, or the playoff spots, I should say, you only have 2 left. So you've already got 6 playoff spots locked up in the American League. And I don't even know how to really look at the wild card standings now. It's very odd. It obviously goes by record. But just to kind of look at the numbers, the Indians, the Twins, the White Sox, all coming out of the Central, probably going to be the only teams there just because the Tigers are way, way back. Rays and Yankees in the East. The Blue Jays and the Astros have the same exact records. And then you do, I mean, I kind of feel like those 2 teams really are the ones that are going to end up. They haven't clinched yet, but everybody else is below 500, and with limited time left, those are likely to be your last 2 teams into the American League. So Blue Jays and Astros, but the seedings, I mean, that's going to run until the very end. So we'll probably end up with 3 teams in the East, 3 teams from the Central, and then 2 teams from the West. Going back to the National League, weirdly enough, the Marlins have the same exact record as the Astros and the Blue Jays. That's kind of funny. and you have the Cardinals, who are just 2 games above 500. The Reds are only a game back of them, and they have the same winning percentage as the Brewers. So there's a lot that's just kind of right there. It's thick around the middle. The Phillies are only 2 games below 500, though they've lost 4 in a row, which has made their job infinitely harder. The Giants, the San Francisco Giants, are at 500 as well. Same record as the Brewers, same winning percentage as Cincinnati. So the whole thing's very convoluted. And as I've told you before, maybe you are looking forward to an expanded playoffs. I am withholding judgment. I liked the wild card situation that we'd had since, what is it, 2012? 11, 12? Don't quote me on that. It's one of those years. I liked it because it started off with 2 games that grabbed you, 2 win or go home games. And I loved the way that the playoffs started off with a bang. A lot of you complained. You didn't think it was fair. To which I always respond, life is not fair. This is sports. Who cares? But many of you complained. Well, Major League Baseball has added not just wild card games, but wild card series, which to me is, feels like overkill right now. I don't want teams in the postseason on a regular basis that have losing records. To me, that does not make for great competition, especially, Dave, I'm not sure how you feel about it, but especially when you're going to have these series matched up by seed. So every single team in both the AL and the NL will play a wild card series. There's no longer any benefit to winning your division, really, because you still have to play in the wild card. And for instance, the Dodgers, who've already got the top seed in the National League, will play the 8 seed, so to speak, which could end up being a team below 500. Now, can they get eliminated in the first round? Sure. It just, it doesn't seem like there's much benefit then to being able to have, and there's no home field, right? So that wipes out as well. What's the benefit? Well, I should take that back. There is home field for the wild card round. It's just, it's not the same because there's no fans. So there's not really a home field advantage much, but it just seems to me it takes out the kind of the whole purpose of grabbing the top seed. Like who even cares then?
It's all very weird. And I personally don't like the whole setup just because, and I get why they're doing it, more teams, more postseason revenue, and more eyeballs on the screen now.
More money, yes, for
and
sure.
Then, you're seeing all the teams that are still in contention, so you're watching those games of more importance instead of not watching at all. And I just don't like teams that make the playoffs when they're either below 500 or they don't feel like a playoff team. They don't deserve to be in. And I think you're going to see it more often with the NFL now, too, expanding their postseason. And I don't like it because if you look at last year as an example for football, the Steelers, okay, they would have made the playoffs, but they had no quarterback. Do they really deserve to be in the postseason?
Well, you are what your record says you are. If you just, it's not the team's fault that NFL and Major League Baseball are trying to capitalize on the postseason revenue stream. But to have more than half the teams make the playoffs, to me, just is a recipe for watering it down, like watering down the field. If more than half of your teams make the postseason.
Yeah, I agree completely. And for me and in the NFL, I loved the six teams and six teams. I thought it was perfect.
Perfect, exactly.
And I'll still watch, obviously, and enjoy the seven and the seven. But the baseball having more than half the league in, absolutely. It's just, as you said, watered down is the perfect way to put
it. Well, and it's the situation in the NBA, too, right? The NHL, and people complain that too many teams make the postseason, la, 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 la. My issue with the NFL is that you now have just one team with a bye, and that's a major advantage. Maybe not in 2020, although that more and more teams will have fans. But, yeah, just, I don't know. We'll see how much it tips the scales as we go through it for the first time. Okay, we're an hour away from Ask Amy Anything on the Hump Show, so send your questions to our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. Also on our Facebook page, Producer Dave, I'm holding my nose. The questions are so far, but you have an hour.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
You know, I've had the virus, okay? I'm doing my best. I'm very sensitive about it, but I'm calling plays. I just want to communicate in these situations, and I apologize. And if I get fined, I will have to pay the fine. But, you know, I'm very sensitive about all of that, and I apologize.
Follow Amy Lawrence on Twitter after hours or anytime. Her Twitter handle is at @alawradio.
Not if John Gruden, but when. We all knew both Gruden and head coach Sean Payton of the Saints would get fined, and it would be an NFL quick response. It's a QRT, quick response team, because they got plenty of actual FaceTime Monday Night Football, and many times they were caught not wearing their masks properly. And that was the bombshell that John Gruden dropped at the very end of his Zoom call. In fact, we talked to Raiders insider Vic Taffer on the show about 24 hours ago, and he said it was stunning because it was the very last question that Gruden took. He apologized for not wearing his mask. He said he was sensitive about it because he had the virus. Wait, what? And so we were trying to get to the bottom of it when Vic joined us on the show. And by now, maybe you've heard exactly what happened, but the ruse, the hoax that his assistant coaches played on the athletes in training camp by telling them that Gruden had the virus and then saying, oh, just kidding. We were just trying to prove a point that it's very serious and that anybody can get it. Even people who are really healthy can suffer with it. Turns out Gruden did have the virus, and his assistant coaches outed him without allowing him the option of telling the team himself. So just, it turned into this big kind of convoluted story. And yes, it's a big deal that Gruden wasn't wearing his mask on the sideline because they have to. Whether or not you think it's necessary is irrelevant. The fact is, the rules require coaches and team personnel to wear their masks on the sidelines during games. Period. End of sentence. There is nothing after that. It's like if I want to go buy groceries in New Jersey, guess what? I have to wear a mask. There is no but to it. It's a rule. It's a law, as a matter of fact. And so for John Gruden to apologize and then reveal that he had the virus was causing a lot of questions, because we all thought that the Raiders coach was in on the ruse with his players and that he didn't really have the virus. And as it turns out, oh yeah, he did. So on Tuesday, of course, he was asked about telling his team he didn't have the virus, or it wasn't him. It was his assistant coaches telling the team he had the virus and then didn't have the virus, that they were just kidding, and how this turned into a major story.
I don't want to get into it, really. It wasn't pleasant.
And it was reported that I made up that I had the virus, and it really ticked me off because I would never do something like that. But it's a very serious matter, and, you know, obviously I'm sensitive about it. But, yeah, it was a tough ordeal, that's for sure, just like everybody else that's had it.
So Gruden has admitted now publicly twice that he had the virus. And as it turns out, he had it in mid-July before training camp started. And it sounds like his assistant coaches decided to use it as a way to kind of shock the team so they would recognize the serious nature of the virus. And then maybe Gruden got mad about it. Maybe he didn't want them to know. Whatever the case, he had managed to keep it a secret until his assistant coaches told the players. And so maybe that's why the assistant coaches backpedaled and said, oh, never mind, we were just kidding. But you hear Gruden say he was ticked when he found out that his coaches had turned around and then lied to the team. So, right, the truth eventually comes out, and I'm glad that he's fine. I think if we know the truth about, like, all of the NFL coaches now, which I guess there could still be a couple or maybe one, two more who had it and didn't say anything, but it's four coaches that at least have revealed that they had it. Four out of 32 head coaches. Sean Payton was the first. Gruden, so they were both on the field last night. Doug Peterson had it during training camp, and then Anthony Lynn said he had it in the springtime, but he didn't tell his team until training camp. So as was expected, the NFL did fine both Gruden and Payton $100,000, and then the team gets fined $250,000, if you can believe that. And that's five coaches now that we know of who've been fined. And this is just head coaches. There could be others. But Vic Fangio, Pete Carroll, and Kyle Shanahan all fined. I'm kind of impressed that Sean McVay got the message. Remember, he said the warning from week number one, that was for me because I was the one wearing my mask the wrong way, and he managed to avoid a fine. But per the usual, the NFL is not fooling around. Like, the NFL is not kidding when it says we're going to do this our way, period. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Austin is listening in Texas. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going, Amy?
Good.
Well, here we go again with the sports world trying to create this narrative that the Lakers are in trouble again. Started with the Avery Bradley opt-out. And then the game one loss to Portland. Oh, Portland's really a third or fourth seed. And then the second round, the game one loss to Houston. Oh, Houston small ball lineup. I don't know if the Lakers match up well to that. They're in trouble. And then now this game three loss. When they've been coasting the last two games, the Lakers. They shot 6 of 25 from threes today. They didn't have any intensity on defense to the fourth quarter. They were down by 20, and they almost won the game. They almost came back and won. But you know, everyone points to the Clippers. This team's not the Clippers, okay? The Clippers checked out the minute they got to the bubble, you know, and their mindset was there's no I in team, but there is a Magic City. Okay, the Lakers have been locked in since day one. I'm not worried about it. And last time I checked, the last eight times LeBron was in the playoffs, his team has gone to the finals. So what's your take? You think the Lakers are in trouble, or you think people are just overreacting a little bit?
Well, I think sports fans overreact to everything. I'm quite sure that at some point in your sports fandom, Austin, you've also overreacted to something. I don't think it's a good idea for the Lakers to keep putting themselves in this situation. I mean, let's be honest, Austin, this series could very easily be 2-1 Nuggets. They did the work to come back in game number two, and Anthony Davis hit a brilliant shot and of course, had that great stretch with the last 10 points. I think these teams are really evenly matched. I know game one, notwithstanding, the Nuggets had gone though back-to-back series with seven games. The Lakers had a little more time off and, you know, that fresher legs. I wouldn't say they're in trouble. No, I wouldn't say they're in trouble unless they're on the verge of being eliminated. But I also do think that the Nuggets are a far more dangerous opponent than many people give them credit for. They'd have a flair for the dramatic. They don't play well when they're in front. But they're certainly not intimidated by the Lakers, nor were they intimidated by the Clippers like many teams would be. And so if the Lakers do not take them seriously, they very well could end up watching the rest of the postseason or watching the NBA Finals from home. I mean, I get what LeBron's done in his history, but I don't know what that has to do with the Lakers. Who cares? I mean, he didn't make the playoffs with the Lakers his first year. And so the team is not just about him. It's about the guys they put around him. And I think that they're in a good spot, but I also think they don't probably want to be getting down 20 points in a game and having to rely on some 19-2 fourth quarter run. That's not a great recipe for success either.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, well, the last, you know, when they didn't make the playoffs last year, you know, LeBron got hurt and they were a fourth seed. And I wouldn't have counted them out in the playoffs, you know, because Durant was hurt. And I mean, you can never count out LeBron in the playoffs. I think maybe he would have got something going maybe with those young guys. But, yeah, I mean, I agree. I think they should definitely not take them lightly, but I think they'll get back to business these next two games and close them out.
Well, I think that's exactly what the Nuggets want. The Nuggets want everybody else to be focused on the Lakers and not as much on the Nuggets because that suits them well. They like being the underdog. They like being overlooked. They like being disrespected. And they're as locked in Orlando as the Lakers are. They definitely we have seen how they have thrived in the bubble. It's not been an issue for them at all. In fact, it's helped them focus more on basketball. So, Austin, we'll see. We'll talk to you again during the series. Thanks so much for calling. I'll let you go because we're at the top of the hour. There is La Musica. We are halfway through, dead center of our work week. It's called our Hump Show. And so we would love to get your questions, intelligent questions, creative questions, interesting questions, questions that produce stories. We need your questions for Ask Amy Anything. That's coming up 40 minutes from now. So send them to Twitter and Facebook.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.